Before I start preaching, I'd like to note one more thing. Out on the table, out in the hallway, there's a basket with baby bottles in it. The baby bottles are to collect money for a Women's Concern pregnancy centers. And so it's just kind of a novel way to like get you to think about, hey, they're here to like help women in crisis pregnancies. So please grab one of those bottles and you fill it up with change, all right? Please, no pennies, please, but like nickels, dimes, quarters. And then we'll collect it in a few weeks and we'll, you know, that'll be one way we can donate to their effort. Secondly, concerning the retreat Janine mentioned in the summer, our New Frontiers Northeast leaders from the different churches had a retreat at the retreat center on Thursday and Friday. So thank you for all of you who saw the email and prayed for it, because we had a great time together seeking God. The retreat place is going to be perfect for Celebration Northeast, because it's a big conference center, so it's got a meeting hall right there, it's got rooms for the children, where you stay, place for breakfast and restaurant is all right in one building. And then it's on a lake and has a pool, so I think it's going to be really, really great right off the highway. So thank God for that. And one of the things that we were praying for was about, you know, what do we think God wants to do in our church? That's a good thing to think about, right? And so different, you know, pastors and leaders had different goals. And one of the guys had a prophecy for me, and he said, Dave, I feel like God's saying, don't let your future vision be determined by your past successes. And what he was trying to communicate was, like, think bigger. And that's something I want to take to heart, and it's something I'm praying about, Lord, you know, like, what do you want to do, you know, next in our church? But it's also something I'm praying for you. And so my message today goes along with what we've been worshiping, is like thinking bigger of God in your daily life at work. And so one of the burdens that God's put in my heart this year is that all of you would come to a place where you just sense that you're walking with God at work, and that he's with you, he can use you, that he can prosper you, you can have success in your job, but also that, you know, there's people around you that God wants to touch. Can you say amen to that? All right, good. So, Father, I just want to pray for us today. Jesus, you said we're the light of the world. And I pray that you would help me communicate this in a way that just gives us faith, Father, and that enables your kingdom to expand through us. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'd like to do is just review what I preached a couple weeks ago. So that's the first 7 points on your outline. So this is the message I gave from the book of Daniel. Daniel's a man who determined in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with food that was sacrificed to idols. He felt that was unclean. It was contrary to God's will. And so he had a heart to honor God. And 1 Samuel 2:30 says, those who honor me, what will happen? I will honor. And we see this in the life of Daniel. So number one, let's determine to honor the Lord at work. Number two, be committed to your boss's success and demonstrate it. That's something that Daniel did. He was committed to his immediate, the guy over him, his success, the king's success. Three, don't be put off if your boss is ungodly or proud or unrighteous. Daniel worked for a very ungodly king, but he maintained his personal integrity and served the king. Okay, number four is a fill-in. What should you do for your job? Pray. Okay, good. Pray for the people there, pray for difficulties, pray that you can have success, pray that you can be a blessing to your company or organization. That's something I pray for you. I pray that for my children. You know, I pray that because they've hired you, they're going to be blessed. There's like something good's going to come to the company because you work there. Do you believe that? All right, good. Number five, be faithful in your work and be above reproach. Number six, like Daniel, you possess an extraordinary spirit, the spirit of Jesus. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus said you're born again from God, that he puts a new spirit inside of you. And so we can walk by the Spirit at our workplace. Number seven, We should love and care for the people at work in practical ways so they know it. And that's part of like seeing where you work as a place where God can minister. Just through you loving people, caring for them, being concerned about them, helping them, serving them, that does something. That's part of bringing God's kingdom. So let's turn with me to Matthew 5. I actually have Matthew 5, 14 and 15 on your outline sheet. And I quoted the King James Version here for a purpose. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Then what's the next verse say? "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That the good works you do cause people to praise God, essentially. So let's look at this for a few minutes. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." When you think of the light of the world, who do you usually think of? Jesus, okay? Because Jesus is the light of the world. But then Jesus turns around and says, "You are the light of the world." That's quite a thing to say. How many of you woke up this morning just feel like, "Praise God, I'm the light of the world"? No, most of us don't wake up that way. But I'm praying we'll begin to think of ourselves more that way. Not to be proud, but to be real about what God says about you. See, this is God's doing. Number 8 is you're the light of the world whether you feel like it or not. If you have faith in Jesus, if you've been born of his Spirit, you are the light of the world. That's what he says about you. It's his doing. It's not because you pray a lot or don't pray. It's not how holy you are or not holy you feel. It's because the Spirit of Jesus lives inside of you. That makes you the light of the world. And so God wants us to see ourselves that way. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said it, right? So that's what he said. So he wants us to begin to think of ourselves that way. There's two ways we're a light for God. One is just by who we are, because Jesus is with us. Secondly is what we do, good works. We do things that impress other people. I'm sure Ingrid will remember this. This was something that happened like, 15 years ago. My parents came to visit our family, and, you know, we had 5 or 6 kids. It was in July. It was hot, and we decided we were going to go to Walden Pond, you know, half an hour outside of Boston. And I forget what was happening. It just, you know, we have a lot of kids. It was going slowly. We didn't leave on the time when we wanted to. We got there. We walked over from the parking lot to the lake to do a picnic, and I forgot something, and Ingrid had to walk back and get it. And so Ingrid was feeling very hassled and out of sorts. And, you know, she's kind of like, she's walking back to the car. And she comes back with what she has, and as she's walking around the lake, there's this couple sitting there just kind of sunning themselves. And this guy catches Ingrid's eye, and he looks at her and says, "Wow, there's a real light in you." And Ingrid was like, she smiled in her head, just thinking, "I sure don't feel like there's a light in me right now." Isn't that interesting? So this guy sensed something about Ingrid. He was sensing the Spirit of God, even when Ingrid is all out of sorts and mad at me for forgetting something. You know what I mean? Just those funny things. So I just want to say that God's with you. He's with you when you feel like he's with you. He's with you when you don't feel like he's with you. He's with us. Jesus said, "I'm never going to leave you or forsake you." Wow. Makes you want to give your life to Jesus, right? Okay. The second part is we're called to have good works. We're to do things that are in keeping with what God is like and what Jesus is like. That's pretty straightforward. So I want to encourage us. We're going to talk a little bit more about this later on. But we want to have good works that glorify whom? God, not ourselves. How many of you know people who do things and you feel like they're trying to draw attention to themselves? Yeah. Okay, we don't want to be like that. Okay, it's human nature. If I do something, I mean, I'd like being appreciated. I like being noticed, right? I mean, if we took a picture of the church and we put it up there and you'd look at it, what's the first thing you'd look for? Yourself, okay? I mean, that's just who we are. And so Jesus is saying, he's always teaching us to go contrary to that, to get over that, to put that to death. So make sure your good works glorify God, not you. And so, you know, we want to do that. Now, in this case of Daniel again, Daniel had a heart to honor the Lord, and so God blessed him with special qualities. He had intelligence, understanding, wisdom. God gave him the ability to interpret dreams. And so Daniel and his three friends, who had the same mindset, were found to be 10 times better as counselors than all the other kings serving, all the other advisors serving King Nebuchadnezzar. What does that teach us? God wanted them to be successful, right? So number 9, God gave Daniel qualities that made him good at his job. He had a job to be a counselor to the king. So God gave him the qualities that made him good at his job. So I want you to have faith that God wants to help you be good at what you do Monday through Friday. Because sometimes I tell the story of having a job as a farmer for a couple years. I felt it totally over my head. And I had to pray all the time about what I was doing because I felt like I couldn't do it well. So God wants to give you that ability. So sometimes he puts you in a place that's hard, and other times he puts you in a place that's right in keeping with maybe your gifts or your personality or your intellect, and it goes well. But I want us to believe for ourselves and for each other that God can use us for good at work. Amen? Now let's look again at the idea of doing things well, doing good works, and then it gives glory to God. Again, if you look in the book of Daniel, the first kind of supernatural, extraordinary thing that Daniel did was he interpreted a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. Nobody else could interpret what the dream was. And after he gave the interpretation, which was predicting the future of things that would happen, King Nebuchadnezzar gave glory to God. He said, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings." And I have faith that God can do things like that in your daily life. That it doesn't have to be something extraordinary like interpreting a dream. It can be as simple as feeling inspired to serve someone or help them out. But it causes people to notice. If you devote yourself to serving other people, to making them successful, people notice. If you're diligent and work hard at your job, your boss notices. It's hard to find people who want to work hard in our day and age. Most people want to get paid as much as they can for doing as little as they can. Right? I mean, sometimes we're that way too, right? So if there are people who really work hard and are diligent and are faithful, you stand out. And Jesus said, if you're faithful in small things, God will give you bigger things. So I'm praying that for you. I'm believing God to do that in your lives. Another way to define glorifying God, number 10, to glorify God is to make him look good, right? If you serve other people, God looks good. If you are behind the success of other people, if you're selfless, if you don't gossip and you don't complain like everybody else, Jesus looks good. It's not necessarily that you're trying, it just happens. My daughter Faith was telling me that she goes, "Dad, wherever I've had a job, people figure out I'm a Christian without me telling them." And she wasn't bragging or anything. She was just saying she was kind of remarking like, I'm not like telling people like, "Hey, I believe in Jesus." So why is that? Well, it's how she conducts herself. You know, she's a woman who's devoted to like not gossiping and complaining. Those are two things that make you stand out. She works very diligently. And like people, I'm sure she goes out with everybody and she's not getting drunk or doing things that other people do. People notice. But if you're faithful, if you're above reproach, Jesus looks good. If you talk about other people behind their back, how does Jesus look? yeah, it looks bad. They say, oh, yeah, as a Christian, yeah, they talk about, you know, all this holy stuff, but they don't live that way. So as long as we're not hypocritical, but we're really trying to live it out. You know, if you do something stupid and you immediately humble yourself and apologize, Jesus looks good. Do you believe that? I mean, so many times people make mistakes and they try and defend themselves, justify, act like it didn't happen. How many of you have ever had somebody, I don't know, bite your head off or, you know, do something and they then act like it never happened? Yeah, it's hard to relate to that person, isn't it? Okay, so if you snap at somebody and you go back to them and say, can I apologize to you? I feel really badly the way I spoke. It was wrong. Please forgive me. People are like, whoa. That's the way we need to be. That makes Jesus look good. So can we devote ourselves to making Jesus looking good? Well, I'm glad my wife does. Anybody else want to devote themselves? Thank you, Pat. All right, let's keep going. I have a quote here for you from Matthew Henry. He wrote in the 1700s, a godly man. He said, we must not only endeavor to glorify God ourselves, but we must do all we can to bring others to glorify him. Wow, that's a challenge, isn't it? But that's a challenge I want us to have. This is how I want you to think Monday through Friday, that like, can God really use me to get other people to like glorify him or know him or begin to understand like who he is? And the answer is, yeah, he can. He really can. What we believe about God empowers us in our daily living. We need to believe that God is sovereign. What's that word mean? It means he's all-powerful. He rules over everything. So in one of the dreams that Daniel interpreted for the king, the bottom line was, King Nebuchadnezzar, God is going to humble you, and you're going to be like a beast, like an animal, until you recognize it is heaven that rules. So this is the most powerful king in the Middle East, in that part of the known world. And Daniel had to boldly say, God's bigger than you. He appointed you, and he can humble you if you're not careful. So number 11, God is sovereign. He is bigger than your boss. And I'm not saying that so you can like cop an attitude and walk into work. It's like, yeah, you know, boss, my God's bigger than you, pal. You're not going to get very far. But in your heart, you need to know that. So Daniel could serve a king who was not righteous or upright or godly, maintain his integrity because he knew God was bigger than what the king was doing. Right? Scripture says God can work all things together for good for those who love him. So even though people disobey God at times, God can still work beyond and through what they do. It's a miracle. It doesn't make sense. Are you with me? What did Joseph say? Joseph was a man who had a dream from God. In the sequence of events, his brothers were jealous of him, so they sold him as a slave, and he ended up in Egypt. And then he ended up in jail in Egypt. And you look at that and you think, man, one, his brothers are real bums. Two, where's God and all that? And yet, at the end of the day, God took him out of jail and promoted him to become second in command in the whole country. He's the right-hand man of the king. It was remarkable. And then he meets up with his brothers again, and when he reveals who he is to them, they're terrified. And one of the things he said, he goes, guys, it's all right. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Because now I'm here, and there's going to be a famine, and I'm going to be able to feed our family because I'm here in Egypt. It's remarkable. I want us to believe that. God can do that where you live, where you work. Who's ever in authority over you, whether it's a boss or in school, teacher, professor, husband, whatever it is, God is bigger than that other person. And if you believe that, then you can humble yourself and submit to them and honor them, even though they're not always especially honorable. Does that make sense? All right. What is God's will for your workplace? That's my next question. And that's also the fill-in. Have you ever thought about that? What's God's will for where I work? For me there, for my work, for the people there? Is there something God wants to do there? Again, if we look at Daniel and his life, God gave Daniel prophecies that showed that God cared about pagan kings, whole nations, and what was going to happen to them. Wow. That's remarkable. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom what? Come, your will be done where? On earth. Okay, what does that mean? Like, let the earth do the will of God? No. On earth, in our daily lives, where you live, where you work, in your family, in your job, in your school, that we should be praying, God, your will be done here. Because God has a purpose, and God fulfills what he purposes. Put number 13, God wants to work where you work. God wants to bring his kingdom where you go. There's a prayer that we prayed the last time we got together with people from Fenway and City Church Alston, and it was written by a leader in Guatemala, and it's a faith prayer. And at the beginning it says, Lord, we're going to pray these like scriptures, what you've said in your word, because no one can stop you from doing what you have decided to do. Do you believe that? Yes, I do too. So that's the next fill-in. No one can stop him from doing what he wants to do. Now, does that mean that God's will is always done? No. Did anybody not do God's will at any point last week? Yeah, probably all of us, you know, at some point. So we understand that. The people around us may not be wanting to serve God. So God's will is not always done, but God's ultimate purposes always come to pass. He has a way of working despite the rebelliousness of people around us, despite our own sinfulness. God's working. No one can stop him. That's what we were singing earlier today. If God is for us, you know, then who can be against us? No one can stop him. So I want us to have faith in how great our God is. So what does God need? He needs our cooperation. So when we're praying things, it's not all the time that we're begging God to do something, although certainly we can ask God to do things. When we're praying, your will be done, what I'm asking is, God, help me to cooperate with you so I can be part of your will being done on earth. Do you see the difference? So we're trying to be like Jesus. Jesus said, I do what my heavenly Father shows me to do. So all you young people, you're going to be at school this week. Do you ever pray like, gee, Lord, your will be done in school, in the kids around me. Your will be done in my school work. My son Daniel is taking engineering, so he's taking second-term calculus, physics, and engineering all in one term. I'm thinking like, wow, that's like an overload. So I'm praying for him, saying, Lord, give Daniel the understanding that he needs so he can like do well in all those three courses in one term. I pray for you that way. I believe God can use you young people at school. I tell the kids the truth. You want to be a light for Jesus? Be nice to the kids that everybody else is mean to. Simple. But every one of you, God can work where you work, but he needs you to believe that. Amen? He needs you to have faith. Number 15, your workplace is your place of ministry. You know, we think of ministry, we tend to think of this room on Sunday mornings. Well, that's good, but that's pretty limited. Did Jesus only heal people at church services? No. When Jesus sent, like, the 70 out, and he sent them to other villages, did he say, go only to worship services and pray for people there. Oh, what did he say? He said, go to people's homes. And if you get invited in, stay there. And if somebody's sick, like, pray for them and tell them the kingdom of God's come near them. Wow, that's like out where you live. So I want us to have an out where we live mentality of ministry. Okay, the next point. As you adopt this mindset, I believe God will open doors for you. It's us coming into, okay, Lord, your will be done. Here it is, Monday morning, I'm going to work. Did anybody pray on the way to work this week? Okay, a few people. I'm giving you homework again. Pray for your workplace on the way to work. If you can just begin to do it, it's really not hard to do. I mean, it sort of makes sense. I'm going to work. Just pray for a few minutes, you know, on the T, as you're driving, pray for it. Lord, your will be done in me today, in my boss, in my workplace, in the relationships. Sometimes the workplaces, the relationships are lousy, right? People aren't getting along. Blessed are the peacemakers, for you'll be called sons of God. Maybe God can use you to be a peacemaker. I had to do that. We had a luncheon some time ago, and two guys, I was leading the meeting, and two guys got totally mad at each other. One guy walked out. Well, that means it's my job to, like, talk to him later. I had to talk to one guy on the phone. I had to talk to another guy on the phone. I had to try and convince them to come together, which didn't happen. But I had to try, right? That was my job. So we have to be the peacemakers. All right, let's close out. What are some practical ways that we can honor God at work and see that workplace become a place of ministry? So I mentioned some already. Here's some other things that I thought of. Practically, when you're asked to do something, do it cheerfully. Kids, okay, workplace sometimes for you is your home. Okay, if your mom asks you to do something and you do it cheerfully, wow, we're happy. God is honored. Do it well. My dad always taught me, Dave, if you're at work and you get your job, you know, your task completed, look for the next thing to do. Don't just be sitting around twiddling your thumbs or goofing off. He'd say, if you have to, get a, you know, a broom and, like, sweep the floor, but show your boss you're earning your money. And I really appreciate my dad teaching me that. Keep, just work. You're being paid. Try to improve things. You know, you might see ways to do things better at work. So just humbly offer a suggestion. Probably some of you, have you ever offered a suggestion and it got shot down? Yeah, that happens all the time. My poor wife. But that's okay, because you know what? Just hang on to it. It might come around again if things don't change. Or say, gee, why aren't we more productive? Why aren't we more profitable? And you can say, oh, I haven't. And say it again. Treat others the way you want to be treated. I mean, that's basic Christianity, isn't it? Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's what Jesus taught us to do. Wow, that's a great way that you can minister to people at work. It's simple. Let's look at Philippians 2, 14 through 16, down on your sheet there. Let's read this out loud together. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them like beacon lights, holding out to them the word of life. Okay, that's the Living Bible. Isn't that great? Do you ever feel like you're working with people who are crooked and stubborn? Yeah. Maybe some of you don't, but some of us do. Live cleanly, be innocent, stay away from complaining and arguing. Was anyone tempted to complain at work this week? Yeah, probably all of us. You're tempted to complain at home. about your family. Husbands and wives are looking at each other right now. Yeah. Looking at kids. Kids looking at parents. Of course. But God says if we can learn to live without arguing and complaining, then we shine. You become a blameless person. So that means God has to do something in your heart, doesn't he? Why do we complain? Why do we get angry at other people? Adam? Brilliant. Adam gets an A. That's what I always taught my kids. I said, you're angry because other people aren't doing what you want them to do. I mean, so that's just human. We all want people to treat us a certain way, to do things for us. So we're kind of like little gods, right? Everybody just needs to do what I want to do. I mean, we don't think of it that way, but that's really kind of what we're thinking. And so God doesn't let us do that, and people don't let us do that. So if we can just adopt a servant mentality of like, well, how can I serve people around me like Jesus, we'll be less likely to complain and argue and get angry. Right? Jesus said, your righteousness to be in the kingdom of heaven has to be greater than the religious leaders. They told you, if you murder someone, you will be subject to judgment in the court. But I say to you, if you're angry with your brother, you'll also be subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot or a fool, you'll be guilty enough for the judgment of hell. So when you hear that, what do you think? I'm in trouble, right? That's what we think. That's what Jesus wants you to think. He's trying to show you, you don't live up to God's standard. So one, it shows us we need a Savior. We need Jesus to pay for our sins. Amen? Secondly, we need Jesus to also change us and live inside of us so we learn to stop wanting our own way and expecting everybody to do what I want to do, and we have a change of heart. Someone earlier was praying about our hearts. God's after our hearts. Yeah, he is. Are you with me? Okay. He talks about holding out or holding forth the word of life. You know, it's just like be able to share with people what God's done in your life or what's happening. I was at a Kiwanis lunch. We're having a fundraiser soon for local charities, and we need people to sing. We have a singing competition, and we all get to, you know, some of you have been there. Steph has sung in it. Elizabeth Hoffman sung in it. It's a real fun evening. But we don't have many contestants, so I prayed earnestly. I said, Lord, we need some more people to sign up. And like three or four people that afternoon emailed me. They saw the, you know, ad for it. So I went to the lunch. I said, hey, I said, I have an answered prayer. And some of the guys look at me. And so I told them, I said, hey, not many people signed up. I prayed. They, did it. And they said, oh. And so then at the end, you know, we were going over things. And one of the guys goes, well, Dave, you better keep praying for more contestants. I said, yeah, I will. I'm just saying, talk to people around you. Just tell them what God's doing. Last point, treat others as God has treated you. Treat others as God has treated you. Have any of you ever been stupid or selfish or whatever? Yes. Did you ask God to forgive you? Yes. Did he forgive you because of what Jesus did for you? Yes, he did. So when people sin against you and are stupid and say things they shouldn't say, how does God want you to treat them? Yeah, to forgive them. God is not holding our sins against us because of Jesus Christ. So if he's treated me that way, then that's how I'm going to treat people around us. So our faith in Jesus. God gives me what I don't deserve, so I'm going to give people what they don't deserve. You may feel like this person does not deserve my kindness or anything. It's like, yeah, amen. Give it to them because of Jesus, not because they deserve it. If we do that, I believe you're going to see God working where you work. So, can we have a closing song, please? So let's just I want you to take a couple of minutes and pray. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I want you to take a minute or two to just pray, process what you've heard. What is God putting on your heart? What did he bring to your attention from what I just shared? Talk to him about it. Pray that you can make the changes. Father God, thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this church. I thank you, Father, that they love Jesus. I thank you that they want to do your will. And I pray that you would empower them today to think bigger about you. I pray you would put it in their hearts that you can work where they work, that your kingdom can grow where they work hard 9 to 5. Thank you, Lord. In schools where the kids are going to school, I pray that they would believe that they can be a light for you among their friends. God wants to use you, brothers and sisters. So pray to him about what hinders you, what you have trouble believing, what's stumbling you. Give it to him. Just take a minute and pray. Jesus said, what is impossible for people is possible with God. What's impossible for people is possible with God. So be encouraged. God can do things that seem impossible in your daily life. All right, Steph, why don't we stand together and sing this song?